I too almost wore the old orange and black, but my wife was like, absolutely not, do not do that. So, Missy, you can pick a fight with my wife. I have an old Ocho Cinco jersey, all right? That's how old it is. I'm still in great shape because I never wear it because I'm not a fan, to be honest. But all right, so today I'm going to speak on a pretty well-known topic. I'm going to speak on Saul's conversion, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?'" This is a place in history where we see one of the greatest reassignments ever. And this leads to a situation where there was a change of plans. Turn to your neighbor and say, change of plans. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity today to dig into your word and get to know you more. God, I pray the Holy Spirit might fill this room, that every word that is spoken and received is directed by you, directed by your Spirit. We thank you for every mighty way that you're going to move this morning, God. We know that you're about to move. We thank you for that. God, I pray that every person here might receive what only you have to say. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen. So, who is Ananias? Who is Saul? This isn't the Saul that was King Saul in David's time. This is Saul of Tarsus. And this Saul happens to be on a mission. All right, what is that mission? It is to persecute anybody who belongs to the way. The way is Christianity. All right, we find out in Acts 11 that when the church is created in Acts 11, they begin to be called the Christians. So in this situation, Saul is a man who is involved in the martyr of Stephen in the previous chapter, chapter 8. And so after this martyr happens, all the people who belong to the way scattered and they went to these different places. And Saul went on a mission to persecute anybody else who might be similar to Stephen, who might be endorsing Jesus, right? So that is the backstory of what's happening. He's asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, trying to find out anybody who belongs, men or women, that he might take them as prisoners, still breathing out these murderous threats. All right, so he's on his way to Damascus, and on this journey, we see one of the greatest just changes of heart that we see in the Bible. Just a complete just wrecked and reassignment, change of plans. Has anybody ever gone through just a change of plans? I know that I'm not the only one because this is just a thing that we all go through. Just a change of plans. You've assigned the day a job, a mission, a task, to something that you need to do, and then life happens, right? But how many can say that you've had something you felt like you were led to do, and then God happened? Because that is a completely different scenario, different situation. In fact, I pray that everybody experiences that, if you haven't already. In World War II, is anybody in here like a history buff like I am? Mm-hmm. The very few of you. I know it's a boring subject. Everybody falls asleep in history class. I wasn't the kid who fell asleep. I was the kid on the edge of my seat because I loved history. And one thing that I found interesting about World War II, and this is probably similar to previous wars, and wars after that. But in World War II, it's common that if any person, if any soldier appeared out of the darkness into the camp of, whether it's his own camp or an enemy camp, if he appeared into the camp of other soldiers and could not state his case, could not state his mission, who he is, what he's doing, why he's there, if he was unable to communicate this, he was shot immediately. That's pretty heavy, right? So if he didn't have a mission, if he didn't have authority to be there, if he couldn't voice what he was supposed to do, who sent him, why he was there, it was death. A mission can be a life or death situation. In Saul's case, is to breathe out murderous threats to other people. Verse 5 says, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, did not eat or drink anything. So the first thing that happens is he's just traveling around. He's got his boys with him. And this light flashes all around him. Another part of scripture says that the light was so extraordinary, it was broad daylight and he was blinded. Broad daylight, that's how bright this thing was. All right. And this is such a crazy experience that he is closes his eyes, falls to the ground, and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, this isn't like, if you really read this closely, "Who are you, Lord?" He knows immediately that this is such an extraordinary experience. He knows immediately this has to be the Lord, the one whom he's persecuting. This is Jesus himself. This is actually, in fact, a few years after Jesus is crucified, the death, burial, resurrection, ascension. So Jesus is speaking to him. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul says. This implies that he knows who he's talking to. But who are you? Who are you? "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now go into the city, and there I will tell you what to do." So now we see this act of change immediately transferring over to obedience. And so when he obeys, the moment he acknowledges the Lord and then obeys is the moment that everything is set forward in motion here. It's important to remember that. We'll come back to that. This experience is so extraordinary that it immediately changes a desire in his heart. The other part of this is that the men that he's with, they don't see anything. And this is important because what they experience is the sound. They experience hearing God. They don't see anything. All that happens is Saul sees this light, and the men are just standing there like, "What's happening? I can hear it, but I can't see it." So then he gets up, and then the men lead him into Damascus by hand. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard him sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. Here it is, verse 9. For 3 days he was blind. Blind. Did not drink or eat anything. Where have we heard 3 days before? What is the 3 days signifying? He goes into the city. He is blind. He cannot see anything for 3 days. Doesn't eat, doesn't drink. And what this allows him to do What this allows him to do is to focus solely on the voice of God. God blinded him so that he could not see. All he could do is focus on the voice of Jesus. And get this, in these 3 days of darkness, his old mission died. And his new assignment was born. Has anybody in here ever felt like you are just in a period of darkness? You don't understand what's happening. You feel beat down, you feel low, you feel blinded. I know that I've been here, and I can't be the only one. So we go through these phases where life is just hitting us, and we're just in this period of uncertainty and darkness. And maybe the thing that we need to do is just close our eyes, focus on the voice of Jesus. Because in our vulnerable moments, in our dark moments, is when he's going to speak to us in a way that we can listen more clearly. Now moving forward in the story, we see this man named Ananias, who is a disciple who the Lord speaks to in a vision. What happens here is Ananias is a man of God, and he lives in Damascus, and the Lord speaks to him in a vision and says, go and find a man named Saul of Tarsus. In fact, he says, go to Straight Street, find him in the house of Judas. And so think about this. Ananias, he knows who Saul is, because then he tries to counsel the Lord. He tries to respond with, Lord, like, this guy? The guy who's here to persecute me? He doesn't know that he has this change of heart yet. So immediately his thought is, this guy is going to throw me in prison if I see him, if he sees me, if he finds out where I am, who I am. He's going to throw me in prison. He's breathing out these murders. I know what he did with Stephen. Verse 15 says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Chosen instrument. We just think about this for a second. We've kind of switched gears from relating to Saul, and now we're relating to Ananias. The Lord tells him, go, this man who you're saying is murderous, who is just doing everything he can to get rid of Christians, the guy who's persecuting people, your enemy, the person who is seeking you out, go and pray for him, because he, with all of his sins, with his history, with everything that he's currently doing, he is my chosen instrument. What is an instrument? Can an instrument do anything without being played? Can I say, hey, beautiful Martin guitar, play me a song right now? It's not doing anything. Or can I say, hey, keys, do something? No? What does an instrument need to be used? It needs hands, it needs a being. It needs a force to make it move. my chosen instrument. An instrument cannot do anything without a greater force enabling it to do so. And then what happens is Ananias goes to the house, and then he placed his hands on Saul. And then what happens? Saul is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we are Let's go this route. Have you ever been in a drive-thru? You felt like the Lord was saying, you know, pay for the person behind you. Do you do it? Do you obey? Let's think about what we've actually been through. Or you might be in the grocery store and you see somebody who's down to like their last food stamp, and there's just nothing left, and they can't afford all the groceries that they need to feed their family. And the Lord says, go pray for that person. A lot of times we don't do it. A lot of times we don't become the instrument that we're designed to be. We don't go and reach out and pray for that person a lot of the times. Can we just be honest? Because sometimes it's scary, right? Or being in school or being at work and you got that one person that you just really don't like. God says, they need some prayer right now. Will you be obedient and pray for that person? You don't know what can be on the other side of that prayer. What they can receive out of that. This is where we have to be bold. We have to step out in faith, in obedience, pray for somebody, right? Speak something over to them or over their lives that they might receive it. This can be a life-changing experience for somebody, and a lot of times we withhold that. We try to counsel God. Well, this person did that to me years ago. This person just spreads drama in the workplace. He says, go. Go to this person. Which also is crazy because a lot of times we get this idea, oh, if they just come to me. Or us believers in this house, oh, if they just come to this building. Come on. If they would just see the posts that I put on Facebook, if they would just listen to the things that we put out, if they would just come here, if they would just see how cool the screens are and the music, if they would just come here, then they might be changed. But do you ever think maybe if you just go to them? If we just go to them, if we just lay our hands on them, because it's not always just praying. It's not always just saying, oh, yeah, I'll pray for them and just thank you, Jesus. Maybe instead of just praying for the person who's down to the last food stamps, maybe you give them a little bit of money to help them out. Maybe you do something physical, right? Can we just, it's not, we can't just expect people to come to us all the time. We are the hands and feet of God. Paul later says that Jesus is the head and we are the body. We're the arms, we're the legs. We're the ones who are supposed to be reaching out. Our mission statement, reach, encourage, and disciple. But are we reaching? Because that's the first step. As a believer, as somebody whose mission is to advance the kingdom, are we reaching out to people? Are we encouraging people, or are we just walking around with an angry look on our face? We have good news. We should be encouraging, right? And then discipling. So many people want to disciple, but they don't want to build a relationship. Whew. Gotta be careful, I might be stepping on some toes. What Ananias does is he obeys the Lord and he goes to Saul. He goes to the person who's set out on a mission to persecute him. He goes to this person who's breathing out the murderous threats. He goes boldly in faith and in obedience. And because of that, because of his obedience and because of Saul's obedience, one of the greatest changes of history happens. One of the greatest reassignments in history happens. And what we see is Paul building a church later. His name is changed from Saul to Paul. And he becomes this amazing vessel for God, this amazing man of God who goes on and does great things and sees many, many people change their lives. But what needed to happen before that happened? That Ananias also had to step out in faith and pray for him. Right now, some of you might be thinking, well, how does this relate directly to me? Let me say this. Everybody in here currently is either an Ananias or a Saul. What do I mean by that? Either you are an Ananias, you are a believer, you're a disciple, you are doing what you feel like the Lord's led you to do, and God's giving you a reassignment right now, or he wants to give you a reassignment. Maybe you're the Ananias who's just carrying on your daily life, and you don't even know it. God's about to speak to you right now. God's about to lead you into a literal change of plans. Or you're somebody similar to Saul who is just in need of some extraordinary change, some extraordinary experience. You're going through that dark time, you're going through that blindness, you're going through that situation, and you feel like, I need to know God more. I need a reassignment. Everybody stand with me. Maybe you feel like you relate more to Ananias, where you're already a man of God, a woman of God, a believer. And you're just kind of wondering what the next step is. What's the next step? Where am I supposed to go now? Just got baptized, or just accepted the Lord. I need a sense of purpose. Just need to obey the Lord. Because that person you're supposed to pray for, or that business you're led to give to, person you are led to help out or reach out to in the workplace or in school. Listen to the Holy Spirit telling you to pray for somebody, to reach out to somebody, to encourage somebody. Or you might feel like a Saul. Say, God, I'm unworthy. Because in our eyes, looking at Saul, a lot of us can relate to him and say, he wasn't fit to do the amazing things God had called him to do. He wasn't fit to be an instrument of God. He was sinful. He was on a mission to persecute Christians. And you might relate saying, well, I'm sinful. There's no way God can do anything to change me. Or I need to get my act together before I can be an instrument. I need to work on myself. Where you look in the mirror and all you see is sin, all you see is guilt, all you see is shame, all you see is pride. Let me just say, if God can change Saul's life in one instant, what makes you think that there's nothing you can do to have the same experience? What makes you think it's the same God who changed this man's life can't change your life right now? I just want to encourage you right now that nobody, no one is too far from the grace of God. No one is too far No one's too far to be a chosen instrument of God. Let's pray, Jesus. We thank you for this change in Saul's life, this change in Ananias' life. God, I want to thank you for, this might sound crazy, but I want to thank you for the darkness. I want to thank you for your voice, your guidance. Holy Spirit, who is our helper. For any person in this room right now, I want to thank you that you have a reassignment. And God, that reassignment is waiting on the other side of obedience. And God, I just pray boldness, obedience, fearlessness. And hearts that seek you in your people. Every person in this room. Feel led to pray healing over somebody. Just as Saul was blind and Ananias laid hands on him and prayed for him, and Saul received the Holy Spirit and his eyes, the Bible says something like scales fell from his eyes and he was healed, he was able to see again. And right now, if anybody is in this place and you are in that state of darkness and you are in that state of confusion, if you feel like you need that healing, you need that change, you need that reassignment, you need new direction, you need vision, you need healing, go ahead and make your way up to the altar right now. I feel led to just pray over healing over somebody. And a reassignment. Thank you, Jesus. God, among every single person here, I just want to pray healing. I want to pray guidance, protection. I want to pray over every lie that they might tell themselves, that they're not good enough. They can't experience such a radical change in their life. I pray direction for these people moving forward. What is their next step? I just pray that you are able to speak to them, and God, that they might listen, they might hear you, that whatever darkness they might be going through, that they can focus on the words of Jesus, focus on the healing of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Every single person here, God, I pray healing over every situation. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For by your stripes we are healed. This might not just be a physical healing, but a spiritual healing. This is a healing that we need in our inner spirit, in our heart. And God, I pray boldness for every single Ananias in here to reach out to those who are in need. Give them the words to say. Father, give them the strength to step out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just want to thank you for our time here today. Every believer in this house, your church, your people, God, I just pray boldness as we move about our week, as we move about our daily lives, as we go into the workplace, as we go into the schools. Pray wisdom. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. May it dwell in your people. It's your mighty and precious name. Everybody said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. Give Eric, let Eric know you appreciate that word this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, give us open ears. Give us open ears, God, to hear those moments where you change our plans. Lord, I thank you right now for changes of assignment, God. I thank you for that this year, Father. You are changing people's plans, big plans, small plans. But God, on the other side of that obedience, like Eric was saying, God, thank you in advance for the things in the kingdom that are going to burst forth and break out in the places in our lives where you're going to cause victory to break out as we hear your voice and allow you, Holy Spirit, to lead us in whatever direction you want to. In Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way, man. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and amen. Give somebody a hug, a high five. Let them know you love them this morning, man. Thank you, Eric, for that word. And let's believe God for the Bengals to win today, I guess. Amen. Love you guys, man. We'll see you guys. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm here with my beautiful wife, Luann, and we just want to say thank you so much for worshiping with us this Sunday at Redemption Life Church. Whether you're in the building or online, we call you part of our family. If you're new here, or if you've never taken this step before, right now, before you do anything else today, would be a great time to head on over to our website, which is
redlifechurch.com.
Redlifechurch.com, right in the middle of the homepage, there's this big tab that says new here. Click that, fill out the quick form, and get started today making Redemption Life Church your home for freedom and encouragement. Speaking of our website,
redlifechurch.com.
You can go there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a place to give prayer requests. You'll receive prayer. You can get started with Growth Track, find out other information about the church, stay up to date with all the events going on, connect to our huddles, connect to our Facebook groups. It's all there anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's a resource that we encourage you to use. As always, thank you so much for your support of this mission to be a place that reaches, encourages, and disciples in Brookville, Franklin County, and beyond. On. We can't do without you. We are preaching the gospel together and making a difference in our world. So thank you for being a part of this ministry. That's it. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same place.
See y'all.